going through seasons and years, and we're going to just be good soldiers for the kingdom, and we're going to put our nose to the grindstone, and we're going to be diligent in what we do and all of that stuff. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back, and that even trumps being a son. And so God wants us to enter into a place of bridal status, and I believe the almonds are Him saying, you know what, you remember the way that Tyler looked at you when you walked down the aisle? I was standing right next to him. I remember it. I started crying too. But even in that, I was moved by the moment. But he looked at you in a way that I couldn't look at you. Because he was your beloved. You're his beloved. And I believe that the almonds in our life is going to be God's look on us, God's kiss on us, God's kiss on our life. Your dad may have kissed you on the cheek your wedding day. I don't remember. Probably I kissed both my girls the wedding day. But I didn't kiss them like Brett and Rhett kissed them. Because I'm their father, but not their beloved. You see what I'm saying? It's a deeper place of intimacy. And so God's building this framework for us to go to a higher place with Him based purely on relationship. And then He came in, and we were on that for a couple weeks. And then He spoke to me last week, and we began to talk about Genesis moments in our life. And asking us the question, when was the last time we had a true Genesis moment in our life? And when I say Genesis moments, that's the moment when the Spirit was brooding over the face of the earth. In expectation and anticipation. And then God steps in that moment, and He speaks and says, let there be light. And then He began the creation process. And everything that we know got set in motion. What I'm saying in that is moments that change the trajectory of our life. And if it does not change the trajectory of your life, then it is really not a Genesis moment. And one thing that I have found, that all good gifts come from Him, and these Genesis moments all originate from Him. All right? And it can be even something bad that starts here, but God says, I'm going to breathe life into this and make it a Genesis moment. And so it changes the way that our life propels through. And so we talked about that last week. And then this week, I think God wants to take us, and I don't know how much foundational stuff He's going to do in the month of January and maybe into February for the framework of this year. But He spoke something to me yesterday, actually. I was like, I knew we were having baptism today, and some of the guys from the Blake House are getting baptized, and I'm always pumped about that. And I'm praying and believing that that's going to be a Genesis moment for them. That they come when they go in, they come out of that water, they're different. Not just I've got dunked before, and then I've received baptisms before. I've had some of the Genesis moments in my life were significant baptisms in my life, and many of them included water, and all. So I'm praying and believing for that. But I was sitting there, and I was I had to go into work and do a few things yesterday, and I was sitting, and I was listening to Bill Johnson preach a sermon. It was the first sermon from 2017. And so I was sitting there, and I was listening to it and just doing some, you know, busy stuff and all of that, some paperwork and everything. And he began to talk about 2016. I don't know if you know, but Bill Johnson got really sick in 2016. Bill Johnson, senior pastor at Bethel in Redding, California, if you don't know who Bill Johnson is. Probably, my opinion, him and Lou Engle, two most significant men on the planet. They talk about the President of the United States being the most powerful man in the world. Mm-mm. These guys go in a dimension that doesn't even... hadn't got nothing to do with nuclear weapons. All right? These guys. But anyway, I just feel like I'll put Mike Bickle up there pretty close too. But it's very, 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 very significant global man, not just my favorite preacher, but a significant global person. But he got very sick last year, and they had to actually wind up removing part of one of his intestines. And he was at a place. And it was kind of touch and go. I remember when we went to the worship conference out in Los Angeles, Lori and I, and he had just got to go home from the hospital. He was in the hospital in San Francisco and had been there for several weeks. So it was kind of one of those things. This is a real, real serious thing. He could not eat or drink for a period of time. He said, I could not drink even a cup of water. I couldn't consume anything whatsoever. And he said, Benny would come in to, you know, she was my constant companion, obviously. Now, Benny's his wife. But said, Benny would come in, and we would take communion every day. But the thing is, I was not able or in a position to take communion because I couldn't consume anything. So, what Benny did was she took communion for Bill. She stepped up into a place where she said, he's not able, but because he's not able, I'll do it in his stead. I'll do it for him because I know this is an alignment with heaven. And then he went on and started talking about 2017 and all that. But that started messing with me big time. I'm sitting here with this and I'm sitting here and the Holy Spirit is just stirring in me. And he said, that's part of my framework for 2017. Part of my framework for 2017 is that I want the body to move on beyond just being narcissistic and that everything is about us. It's amazing to me. I've been saved for 30 years now. It's amazing to me that I've been in this race for 30 years and so often I still get caught up in my junk and can't even get properly aligned in heaven because everything is about what's happening in my life. As a parent, how many of you have to lay aside your stuff to take care of your kids' stuff? You do it constantly. You've got 3 young children. And it's not always about what Brett wants or what's best for Brett or da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's what are the needs of my children in order to get them properly aligned with life, with being healthy and with all of these things. They don't want to take naps. You intercede and step in and say, you got to take a nap. They don't want to go to bed at 8:30. But you come in, you say, you've got to have proper rest. You're going to go to bed at 8:30. They'd rather eat candy than they had vegetables. But you come in and you're like, no, vegetables are what's going to make you healthy. And so God began to stir in me about 2017 is going to be a year about not just intercession for others, but a year when I come in and I believe for others when they can't believe for themselves. It's not just about intercession, but it's about believing stuff for somebody when they can't even believe it for themselves. But here's the thing. God carried me to 2 places. He carried me to Job, and then He carried me over to Romans. And I'm gonna go ahead and just throw out there for Romans. Let me read this. I told y'all to go to Job, right? Can somebody put Romans 8:26 and 8:27 up there? Todd, can you get that in a New Living Translation? I want to read this for you guys. In the NLT. I want y'all to see this. I want the weight of it to be on you. Romans 8:26 and 8:27. It's going to pop up. I'm going to go ahead and read it because I don't want to lose a moment. But it's going to pop up. Oh, there we go. Thank you, brother. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Lord began to speak to me about this section of Scripture, and I love the wording in the NLT. Usually I'm King James, but I love the wording in that. He comes in and said, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Because He comes in and said, we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But then it comes in and it said, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. It knows what the Spirit's saying. Because the Spirit is praying according to the heart of the Father. How many of y'all heard the word Primos or the company named Primos? Anybody in the hunting knows anything about hunting? They make game calls. They make deer calls. They make turkey calls. They make coyote calls. I mean, anything that has to do with hunting, Primos makes a call for it. And their little sign or hashtag or whatever is speak the language. Speak the language. And they come in and they say, we are so authentic in our sound, a bull elk's going to think that you're a cow, even though you're a 178-pound white guy that's got camoed up and face paint on. That bull elk's going to think you're a 600-pound cow because you're speaking the language. And so it's going to cause him to respond because it's a language that he understands. It's a language he understands. I'll never forget, we were hunting in Texas one year, and we were sitting out and backed up under some mesquite, and we were rattling up for bucks. And Brett and the guide were sitting up under some mesquite. And we were back maybe 30 yards from them. And it was the last day of the hunt, and we'd tagged out, and we were trying to get Brett tagged out. I think he was actually filling the tag barrel because she had to leave early. And we were sitting back up under some mesquite, and we saw this buck. And we rattled it, and it was about 400 yards, and he started coming in. And I'm sitting back here, and I got a camera, you know, and all of this. And this buck, we see him coming from a distance, and then it circles around, and it circled around them and got downwind from where the sound of the horns rattling were to see if he could pick up on what it was. And the deer came in from the side, and Brett and the guide couldn't see it. But we could. And so we're sitting here watching this deer come in, and it was a solid deer. It was a 130 class deer. I don't know why we let it walk, but we did. But it came in, and Aaliyah's sitting there. I'll never forget this, and she's going to shoot me when I tell you. But we're sitting there, me and Lori and Aaliyah, back up under this mesquite. And Brett and them are about 30 yards in front. And this buck comes out over here, and he's sitting there staring, trying to figure out, where's this sound coming from? What is this going on? And Leah's sitting here going, psst, trying to get Brett's attention. And this deer's sitting here saying, that ain't the language. That's not what brought me from 500 yards away. The sound of a fight between two bucks is what brought me in here. But now that I get in here, I hear something different, and it's somebody sitting here under a mesquite bush going, psst, psst, psst. And what we're doing in our lives, guys, is we are trying to get heaven's attention for our life, and we're trying to get heaven's attention for other people's lives by going, psst, 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 God. And we're not speaking heaven's language. And so often I can't speak heaven's language for my life because I'm caught up in my life. I'm caught up in worry and being anxious. I'm caught up in fear. I'm caught up in uncertainty. What does the future hold? What does next week hold? What is this ache in my body? What is this pain? What is this thing going on in this and this and this? And it gets into my mind and it gets into my spirit and it takes me out of the place. All Aaliyah was focused on was getting Brett's attention. Instead of saying, if the deer gets closer, then he'll naturally see it. You see what I'm saying on this? She was focused on getting his attention. Not on getting the deer closer. Because Leah's not a deer hunter. She's sitting here saying, I got to get my husband's attention because this is a good buck. And I think he might shoot this thing. So, psst, psst, psst. And we're going through life. And you know what we're doing? We're going to other people, not just heaven, but we're going to other people. And we're saying, psst, psst, psst. You know what we should be doing? We should be speaking heaven's language so God gets closer into their life where they will naturally see God and have a collision with Him and say, whoa, that's what God looks like. We're not facilitating the moves of God like we should because we're going, psst, psst, psst. Let me get Brett's attention. Let me get Jeremy's attention. Let me get Sid's attention. Let me get the worship team's attention. Let me get the deacon's attention. Let me get the Christian's attention that's not coming enough. Let me get the visitors' attention that I've been trying to welcome in. Or let me get the Blake House's attention. These guys coming in. And we're going through life and we're saying, psst, 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 to everybody. Instead of speaking heaven's language. Because when we speak heaven's language, then it draws the Father in closer. And it gives His access in His pursuit. And when that happens, guess what? Then Cindy Hardy's going to have Cindy Hardy's going to have a collision with God. Adriana's going to have a collision with God. They're going to encounter God. The best testimony that I hear from you guys through the years that always just rocks my world. Yes, and I'll talk to you guys because y'all been here a while. The testimony that rocks my world is not that anybody leaves and says, see, it's awesome preacher, man. He's the best preacher I ever heard, anything like that. Or I love y'all's music. Usually y'all don't get to hear our music because you're here on Wednesday nights. But when guys come up to me and they say, every time I come into this place, I feel the presence of God. Every time I come into this place, I have an encounter with God. Every time I come into this place, I get overwhelmed and I walk through the door and immediately I feel God's presence in my life. That's what's touched you through the years, brother. I don't know how long it's been, but it seems like we've been knowing each other like 10 years. I know it hasn't been that long, but it's been a minute. But that's the common thing in this. And I feel like that's the word for the Lord, one of the framework of something that He wants to do in 2017. Is that we come in and we stop with the trying to get each other's attention. And say, well, if Ashley would do this, or Ashley would do that, or if her and Joseph would do this, then I know God will just burst on the scene in their life. And what I need to do is come into a place of intercession and believing for things in their life. Believing for things about her that maybe she doesn't believe. Maybe she did something that's a foreign concept to her. You know, it's much like Gideon. We walk through this thing like Gideon, and God said, hail thou mighty man of valor, and we're sitting here threshing wheat in a wine press. And we're looking around trying to find the mighty man of valor, and God's saying, yeah, I'm talking to you. And what we're doing, guys, in this what God's wanting to do with this framework is we are coming in agreement with heaven. The reason in this Romans 8:27 right here that the Father hears the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is speaking heaven's language. It said that the Father knows the hearts of everyone, but it says that He hears what the Spirit says. And you know why? Because it's His language. Because it's praying according to His heart. It's praying according to His will. What we need to do is come in this undergirding of intercession. And God messed with me on the communion thing. You know what we did in the side room, the worship team, every Sunday morning before we come out? We pray and we anoint each other with oil and we take communion together and all that stuff. I told them, I said, this morning you're not taking communion for yourself. You're taking communion for somebody else that's not in a place. You know, because the Word talks about in 1 Corinthians, it talks about us taking communion. And it says we can take it to our health or we can take it to our damnation. And maybe there's a lot of people in here and they're not in right relationship with God and they're not in that unbroken fellowship. And I say, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand in their stead. Bill Johnson was not able to take communion because physically he couldn't do it. So Benny said, I will stand in that place. Isn't that what Christ did? I'll stand in that place. And I'll have that unbroken fellowship with the Father as if I were you. And I believe that can release some things into... Isn't that kind of what marriage is all about? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. And a lot of times I'll tell people, as we talk about true covenant, I'll say there will be days when you will not be able to keep up your part of the covenant and all of that stuff. So you have to have enough commitment and covenant and dedication, all that, to walk through for the both of you. And vice versa and all of that stuff. And that's what we're doing in this word that God's releasing into us. The two become one. That's it. That we come into this place. And that this, I'm determined, Brett, that this year is not about me coming in and dealing with all of my issues as a 30-year-old believer. I know I'm 54, but I'm 30 years into this thing. And it's kind of jacked up for me to keep circling the main mountain, the same mountain. And I want 2017. God's desire for 2017 is for me to take a page out of Romans 8:27 and come in and speak heaven's language concerning Robin's life and Jeremy's life. That I come in and I intercede for him and I undergird him. Not come in and go, psst, 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 let me get Jeremy's attention so he'll have a great year this year as a spiritual leader. That's what we've done in the past. You know, psst, psst. Oh, this message will be great. We think it is pastors. I don't mean to pick on. I need to start picking on Lori because she don't take. You know what I'm saying, though? We'll get a word and we'll say, oh, that's so applicable for this situation or this person. And you know really what that is? Really, that's just saying, psst, psst, psst. Instead, you know what might have been more effective if she had known how to do it and all of that stuff? If Aaliyah had had a grunt call and hit a grunt call. Then the buck would have said, okay, I recognize that sound. I'll move toward that. I'm going toward that. I want to make the sounds concerning you that heaven recognizes. I want to make the sounds concerning my wife that heaven recognizes. You want a Proverbs 31 wife? Intercession and undergirding. Love and coming in and saying, I'm making the sounds over her that heaven recognizes. I'm making the sounds over Lisa that heaven recognizes. And that God will turn her into a Deborah. Maybe the Deborah's not a good example because she's a warrior prophetess. Maybe an Esther because she's a lover. God, you just, I'll speak that into her. I'll declare that. I'll come in agreement with heaven because I know you've already thought it toward her. Already thought it toward her. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get outside of my box and get outside of my world, and I'm going to step in and I'm going to say, declare this over their lives. And that's not just people inside our community of believers. It's people outside our community of believers. People that need a radical touch from God. Quit trying to go, psst, psst, and start speaking heaven's language. All right? I told y'all to turn to Job, and I'm you know what? I'm just going to paraphrase this. The Word talks about Job, and it said that Job was an upright man and mature. King James actually says perfect, which means mature. He was in right standing with God. He was so impressive that Satan said, when he came before God and God said, what you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro, walking the earth. And God steps up and said, hey, did you check out Job? That's a bad cat. When God uses you as a focal point of His creation, if you have a visitor that comes to your farm, you want to show them what you feel like is the most impressive thing about your farm, don't you? Whatever it might be. You know, I ain't going to care. I'm inside my chicken coop. I'm going to care. Look at this. Look at that. And for Job to be the focal point of humanity in God's eyes, that's impressive, isn't it? But the Word comes in and it begins to talk about Job in chapter 1. And it said that, talked about how wealthy he was and how powerful he was and how God had blessed him and everything. But the thing that really jumped out at me on this and God carried me over to Job to consider was Job came in and one of the things that I think made him significant to God is it said Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it said that as they went about doing life, feast and different things like that, it said that Job would come in, and these are grown children now. These are grown children, okay? This is different even than praying over your 2-year-old. It is different than you praying over a Hendrix. It's when Hendrix gets 27 and he's got a wife and 3 kids, you're still doing this, okay? You're still doing this. And what he would do is he would come in and he would consecrate his kids. I don't know if he would bring his kids in and say, hey, y'all come over to the house, man. We got to do a little spiritual business. I personally think that he would sit here and he would release to where they said, I know Johnny's living. God, I consecrate him. I stand as the patriarch of this house. I stand as one that is further along in this journey, and I give him to you, God, and I lift his life. Even maybe his son wasn't in the place to say, I consecrate my life. He's consecrating his son's life. He's consecrating his child's life. And then he comes in, and the Word says that he does burnt sacrifices for every one of them. He makes offerings for every one of them just in case they sinned against God. I don't know if they did or not, but just in case they have sin against God in their heart, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to offer sacrifice for them. And I believe part of that maturity, and it said he did this on a constant basis. I believe part of that maturity is what caused God to look at him and say, have you considered this guy? Because he was looking at a mature in this covenant, a mature son. Not a child, but a mature son. And God's sitting there, he's saying, man, Job's coming in, and Job is offering intercession. He's speaking my language in that time. You know what God's language was? Come in with a burnt offering. It's going to be a sin offering for this. And it's going to cover the sins. And that way they can stand right in unbroken fellowship before God. And this was part of Job's daily practice. And this was a mature thing, guys. He wasn't caught up in everything going on in his life. But he said, I'm going to do this for them in their stead. It's an undergirding. It's an undergirding. It's a believing for. How many of the parents you would probably say you believe more for your kids? Y'all heard me say this recently. God's been stirring in this in me lately. You believe more for your kids than perhaps they even believe for themselves. Because you see a potential in them they don't see yet. You know, they're sitting there saying, man, I'm just a tadpole. You know. I'm a kid, or I'm three. Every day something different changes with Zealand with me. You know. He's turned in my little helper this past week and want to go help feed cows every day and all that. Mama's like, I think that's going to be a little farmer right there. Of course, one day it's a sword, a mighty warrior, and all of that stuff. But I believe all of these things over him. And he's sitting there with his three-year-old mind, and he's just living life. And that's part of our framework of what God wants for us as a body in 2017. James, will you come up here and help me out on this? Part of our framework for 2017 is that, Micah, God wants you to get past a place of where I am consumed and caught up in all of my stuff, and I'm at a place where I can come in with those around me or those that God brings into my path, and all of a sudden I am speaking and I'm declaring things over them that is heaven's language for their life. I'm declaring, no, you're not playing, you're speaking. Y'all love my impromptu stuff. You're like, dang it, don't do that to me. Chris, you're next. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you, brother. You see what we're saying on this, though? It's all about speaking heaven's language. I believe that the father of the prodigal son did this. Y'all remember the story of the prodigal son? It said the father saw him a great way off when he was coming. And he ran to meet him. If you're not looking on the horizon, you're not going to see him. I believe he had an eye toward the horizon. I believe he entered into a place of serious intercession for his son. I can hear his prayers. Father God, this is not who he is. I know this isn't who he is. He's better than this. Any of y'all ever said that over? And I guarantee you my parents have said that over me. He's better than this. He's called more for this. He's got a higher calling in his life. And I know that, and I believe that. And I can just hear the prodigal son's father declaring all of these things over him. And what he was doing, he was speaking heaven's language, and heaven heard that language. He wasn't going, psst, psst, psst. He said, what's heaven's language say? What does heaven's language say about this? And he's coming into alignment. And the cool thing about Romans 8:26 and 8:27 is when the Holy Spirit speaks and prays heaven's language over our lives, the Father hears it, and then he comes in immediately after that. You look at Romans 8:28 and it says, we know that all things work together good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose and all of that. When heaven's language is spoke, it causes them to move and it causes it to respond. And I pray that my year would be, I can't tell you the number of times that I've come in and I've talked with couples in distress. And I'll come in and I'll know God's will for their marriage. And it's like for them to work things out and to be solid and to be vibrant and abundant and all of that stuff. And I'll believe that for their marriage, and neither one of them can believe that for their marriage. Your counselor, you've seen it multiple times in children. That's the framework of 2017 for us, guys. That's the framework of that for us. Is that this is a year where we come in and I not only intercede and undergird you, but I believe for bigger things in your life. I get in alignment with heaven concerning your life. And those are the things that I declare. And that's the language that I speak. Not the negativity. Well, if Robin would do this, and then this, and this, and this, and this, and all that is psst, 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 psst. That doesn't make the buck come in. Get the grunt call out to all you hunters in here. Get your grunt call out. Jeremy, you get your grunt call out. That's what's going to move God concerning Jacob's life. That's what's going to move God concerning your son's life. When you start speaking heaven's language and get in alignment with that. James, as I've shared just briefly a little bit of this in the side room, and God immediately spoke to James about El Capitan. Y'all know where El Capitan, what it is. It's this famous rock face in Yosemite and all of that. And God spoke a word to James about El Capitan that lined up perfectly with this, so I'm going to break from the norm. And James, I'm going to ask you if you'll just share what you shared with us in there, because it was powerful.
Well, Sid was talking about taking communion for someone else. Talking about Bill's wife taking communion for him. It just really made me think about how we're all together. And, you know, when we accept Christ, or we're going to accept Christ, humanity, we're kind of together, you know. And I just imagined, I was kidding with him, I'm not a rock climber. I wish I was. Oh, sorry, Zekla. Sorry. But I've watched documentaries on rock climbing, so that makes me an expert. So, I mean, you know, I watched something. I'm like, I know everything about it now. But I've watched these documentaries where these guys and ladies, amazing athletes, but they're going to climb El Capitan. And if you've ever seen it, it's just ridiculous. I mean, for somebody to think, I'm going to climb this, they had to be kind of crazy. But in the rock climbing world, it's just one of those really cool things to climb. Not the greatest, but it's really epic to climb this thing. Well, I was thinking, as people climb this, the guy that's going to climb this thing first, you're going to climb in a team. Let's say there's four or five of you, whatever. The person that's going to go up first is going to know the rock face. They're going to know where to go. They're going to know every little crack that you've got to follow. They're going to know every ledge that you've got to move this way, that way. And what they're going to do is they're going to lead this whole expedition. All right? They're going to lead you to the top. And they'll carry all these anchors with them. And there are these things that go into the cracks of the wall, and you tighten them up, hammer them in. There's different ones that do different things to anchor onto. And so they'll take their rope. They've got a rope on them. Sid's going to have a rope on him. Brett's going to have a rope on him, and we're going up this thing together. All right? Let's say that I'm the lead climber. I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to set that anchor in. I'm going to make sure it's tight. I'm going to make sure it can hold and support not only me, but everybody below me, because this thing may, you know, if something slips, this is what's going to keep us from coming off. Okay, so as the lead climber, guess what? I'm carrying all these anchors. And then they'll have 100 of them on there. I mean, they've got them on a rope. They'll throw them around their waist, and they've got all this extra weight that maybe Sid, not the experienced climber, but he knows what he's doing, but he's not familiar with this. I just was seeing, depending on where we're at and where we're walking and everything, somebody like Bill can't take communion. Maybe somebody's not in this room this morning. Maybe somebody's in this room, but they're beat down. They're, you know, Satan's all over them. Something tough's happened in their life. You might need to set an anchor for that person behind you. You're going to have to climb up, and you're going to have to set that anchor. And we need to do it properly. We don't just need to set it so we can say we've done it. Because there's something about an anchor when you're rock climbing, because I know. It helps the guy below you. If he falls, Brett's down below me and he falls, I've got the rope, he falls, we hear him fall, we grab the rope, tighten up, and he'll swing off that anchor. And it saves his life. It saves him from falling. Same way all these people below it. But guess what? It also saves you. If you're at the top and you fall, you'll only fall below the last anchor you set. If everybody else is coming up behind you, they're going to hold you. And I use the example of Jeremy when we were talking about there. It just came to mind, you know, however many years ago, before you came to know Christ and came in this church and everything, you were that guy on the bottom. But how many times have we sat under your teaching? You know, I've been saved longer than you. I've been, you know, a little bit. You know, I was playing the old guitar back then. But how many times have I sat right there and listened to you? So maybe I set an anchor for you one day, and Sid set anchors for you. But because we set that anchor properly, the times that I've been down, I need to hear a word from God. Guess who's been bringing that word? It's people like that. We work together. But let me tell you something. If those anchors don't stay set, we all fall because we're all tied together. From the top to the bottom, we are tied together. And we do it on purpose. And when you come into the kingdom, you say, I'm going to tie myself to this. I'm going to tie myself to what's happening here. Maybe not necessarily in this church. Wherever you guys, God plants you, wherever you're planted, you're going to tie into that. Climb like you mean it. And set those anchors like your life depends on. And those anchors are those experiences with God, those revelations with God, that next level with God, you know, that's growing in Him. So that's kind of what that made me think of.
Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Worship team, y'all come on up, and if you will, jump on stage. Tyler, are y'all going to do that song where you were on the piano? Not today. Come on, dude. Speak the language. I want you right now, everybody, to re-engage. I want you to right now to consider 2016 and ask yourself the question, how much of 2016 was caught up in being about you? I bet if we went around the room and asked, a fair number of us would probably be saying way too much. As a mature, responsible parent, it's always about children. And I tell people when they get married, I said, when you get married, it stops being about you. And when you have kids, it really stops being about you. Here's the thing that I find, that Job elevated to a much higher place in his relationship with God, and I think a lot of it was because of his maturity in his heart toward his children and everything. As we come in and we walk in a mature life of intercession and undergirding and believing for those around us, one thing about if you're climbing El Capitan, the first thing you have to do is you have to pick out a line. That line is not always the line that I can climb, but maybe it's the line that I think this weakest climber can climb. See what I'm saying? When we go through and we're like, I'm going to do it my way. I can't do it my way. I have to do it His way. And when I do it His way, that's the line you can follow. When I speak His language concerning your life, that what you know what that is? That's a life that brings you into your fullness. So right now, what I want us to do, we're about to have a baptism, and we're going to go get kids in a second. But right now, what I want us to do, maybe you need to come down here today. And maybe you need to take communion for somebody that's not able to take communion. Maybe they've got sideways in their relationship with the Lord. Maybe they stop believing in themselves. Maybe you need to come down and you need to pray for somebody and declare His stuff over their life that you know is there and they forgot it's there. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. You're not responding just for what's happening with me. That's kind of childish. Definitely narcissistic. You know one thing that will propel and help make Him great? When you get properly aligned with heaven and you speak heaven's language over His life and you honor Him the way that heaven honors Him and you love Him the way that heaven loves Him, you pursue Him the way that heaven pursues Him. You see what I'm saying? That's what's going to propel Him into a great man. Not by, psst. If your 2016 was spent going, psst, on those around you, you need to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my language. I'm mad about it, Carla. I think that about you guys. I walk through my prayers and my intercessions going, psst, 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 God. And I'm talking to Him, but I'm really trying to get your attention. And God said, that's the wrong language. Here's what I say about Carla. Here's what I think about Michaela. That's what I'm going to speak. And when I start speaking that, then we come in agreement. And we lock in with heaven. And that's when things really get set in motion. So I don't know how you need to respond today, but it might... it might entail this, and it might just be a prayer to stepping in. Start with forgiveness for you, but then moving forward into speaking this over their lives. So we're going to come, and we're just going to just move. Just move.